welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the weekly show from the Bagel Tech Network discussing all things Macintosh. I'm joined by Don McAllister, Carl Swagger, Will Green and Dr. Happy Mac for our regular team view of all the news that is Apple. First off, John, how you doing, mate?
I'm very well, Ewan, thank you. Very well. A little bit stressed out. I'm, as you probably know, I'm off to WWDC tomorrow, so I'm sort of scratching around trying to get this week's show done and get some prep in for next week's show and thinking about packing and stuff. So I might appear a bit stressed during this particular one. Sorry I couldn't make it last week, but I didn't want to let you down this week. That's why I thought...
I fully expected you to bail, mate, and I'm extremely grateful that you didn't. Thank you.
No worries.
And you've shown your stress levels by swearing already today. So. Don McAllister swears. There's the exclusive.
It was only a mild swear, wasn't it?
I would still have had to edit had you repeated it. Mr. Swagger, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm off to WWF next week.
World Wrestling Federation.
Oh, yeah, why not?
It's the coming only
WWF I can probably get to because it's the only thing popular here.
Right, not World Wildlife Federation. Going to go and hug a panda.
No. I didn't even know such thing existed.
World Wildlife Fund. Yeah, they had to.
I didn't know it was WWF though.
They sued the WWF, and that's why they're now the WWE. Because they can't say WWF.
Then I'm going to the WWE followed by the WWF because of panda bears.
Panda bears aren't carnivores, so make sure you've got the right tickets there, mate. Otherwise, you might have been fleeced. Yeah, below him, Andrew Stevenson chugging away on Coke and dropping as much food as he possibly can in a snatch lunch. How's it going, mate? Finish it off.
That's Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe two. How's the week been?
It's been quite busy. Yes, I've been up to my necks in moving a design agency from one office to another. So the office is half built, so it's been a week of burrowing under floorboards, burying cables in walls. All that sort of thing. So
bad BT service.
Yeah.
Oh, blimey. Nice belch, dude.
Heaven and hell today, because once we finished the podcast, it's fantastic outside, and I'm going off to a private island for the weekend.
There's obviously more money in Max than we've given credit for.
Not my private island.
Richard Branson's. No, some equally fantastic person.
Yes, to someone we know who happens to own an island on an enormous lake.
Moving on then. Don't want to give out any names. And last but by no means least, we can see his face, his bright red nose. It's Rudolph Green. How you doing, mate?
Thank you. We moved on from the private island. Go on. Who owns this private island of yours?
Oh, it's just a chap, Dr. No, I think he's called.
Dish it. You're going by helicopter.
He's not famous.
He's not famous.
No, it's outside Cirencester, there's a thing called the Cotswold Water Park, which is like 200 lakes made from an old gravel pit. And many years ago, this chap, very far-sighted man, looked at the biggest hole in the ground and said, yeah, I'll buy that. So over the next 20 years, it gradually filled with water, and he's created a fantastic wildlife reserve. And in the middle of this two-mile-long lake is an island, which he's built, and he's put a beach in there and stuff. And he allows me and the family to go there when it's sunny.
Right. Well, in that case, based on the fact that you said private island, you should have just stuck with private island. Once you said gravel pit, that was it. We're moving on. I've got a gravel pit. It's only 4 foot across, but there we go. The week in Apple, it's not been a bad week for news. One of the young men in China has managed to sell his kidney so that he can get an iPad 2, which is a little bit extreme, through a broker, of course, so it was all legal and above board. They've got him back into production after their explosion at Foxconn over the stuff. And we've got the WWDC stuff that was thrown out next week. And Apple have actually, for the first time ever, announced the names of the services that they're going to talk about before they even start, which is unheard of. Don, you'll be going, I take it.
Yes, I'll be there. I went last year, and it was very, very useful, very interesting. So I sort of pondered a little bit this year because it's quite an expensive do to go all the way over there, and the tickets themselves are quite expensive. But luckily, I decided to do it, and it's a good job I did when I did because it sold out within about 8 hours, I think. So, yeah. But so I've got my ticket. I'm ready to go. I should be heading off probably, definitely tomorrow morning, and being there sort of late Saturday and chill out Sunday and then into the keynote on Monday.
So is there a sense of excitement about this one? Is it a bit different, or are we all expecting it to be kind of samey?
No, I think it's, as you mentioned in the introduction, it's really different this time because there are although there will be surprises, they've actually announced the three main topics, I think, really to try and sort of set everyone's expectation that it won't be all about the iPhone. This time it's going to be about iOS, about Lion, and this new iCloud service. So, you know, all three being announced at the same time leads me to believe it's going to be quite a big deal, lots of integration and some new features.
Of course, this is all offset by the fact that Windows announced Windows 8 a bit more formally yesterday and threw a video out, which did look, you know, quite interesting, if not brilliant. Was that just a straight desire to stump old Jobsy with his Lion stuff? Well, didn't look at it. It's Windows. Why would I bother? Hello?
It's a Mac show.
No, I know, but it was interesting.
They looked really good. I saw the video and I thought, blimey, they've done something interesting there.
That was the point I made last night. The one thing I said was, we're always moaning that everyone's playing catch-up to Apple constantly. No one's trying to leap ahead. And Don made a point earlier on when we were off-air saying, I'm not sure they have leapt ahead. But my point would be, at least they've tried. Give them some credit.
What have they done? What is this is news to me. What's different?
Well, they've gone for their interface. The UI is now all touch based, so they've kept the standard interface if you really want to do it. But if you want the magic UI, then you've got touch and swipe on absolutely everything. You're moving blocks around on the screen and swiping multi-fingered swipes, and you're going to need to buy yourself a touch screen. And the other point that came up in the chat room from one of the listeners last night was, what about if all of those gesture-based interfaces could be done with Kinect? Because that would be an enormous leap forward. You're talking real Minority Report stuff there if they actually did that.
Kinect.
Do you know what Kinect is?
I don't, I've got to be honest.
Okay, if you've got an Xbox, then there's a little thing that sticks on top of the screen and it senses where you are. And instead of having a joypad, you just move your hands around to paddle or to shoot things or to do whatever you want to do, play volleyball. It's three-dimensional recognition of individual people and their hands and the dimensions and the movements and all that kind of stuff.
It's clever, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, mate. Yeah, it's a year old.
When it came out, they did say that you know, that's it's likely going to be used not just for games, but also as an interface into operating systems and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I it was interesting, but I didn't really see anything really, you know, cutting edge with the demo of Windows 8. It was sort of like, well, what they've actually done is they've taken sort of like the Windows Phone 7 thing and taken elements of that, and then they've taken their original Windows UI and just made it more touch-friendly. They haven't rewritten it. They've just made it more touch-friendly. So they've got a bit of you know, new stuff and old stuff which coexist with one another. And I suppose it's really, you know, they've got so much legacy stuff there that they can't just rip everything up and start again from scratch. So it's a bit of a halfway house, really. But and it's still early days. I think they've still got an awful lot of work to do. I think the demos that they did at the D conference, we're all on sort of special rigs and stuff, so they've got a long way to go. Yeah, I think
you could use that Kinect thing for text input, couldn't you? If you had a flag, you know, those little
semaphore.
Blokes.
Absolutely,
that'd be quite fun, wouldn't it?
I'm being reminded quite forcefully in the chat room that this is a Mac podcast and not a Windows podcast. We're only briefly talking about the competition, I assure you. But if we're saying it's not a shattering, or if we're saying that there's no real, you know, leap forwards in this, it'll fail. I think it might be a bit of a novelty, and I think that's true. I think it may fail if they don't throw it right the way behind.
All you got to do is, Don said it completely correctly. Look at how Windows Phone 7 is done. It's essentially almost the exact same thing. We've still got the stupid start button there, regardless if we don't have start right now on Windows 7. I mean, to me, Windows 7 has been the best Windows it's been since, probably since XP, and certainly since 2000. But to me, this is a nightmare waiting to happen. Honestly, yeah. I don't know what I'm one that's out there that says I wasn't keen on Windows 7. I thought it looked just clustered and unuser friendly. So far, it's remained that way. I think some people like it, but the mainstream doesn't. And I think you're going to have the same thing happening with Windows 8.
So what is Lion going to be doing, or what do we think could be coming in Lion that's going to make Apple knock that into a cocked hat? What's the expectations of performance from the new OS then?
It's going to blow smoke out of its bottom.
Puff the magic OS.
Yes.
Andrew, have you got anything that you think's coming or you want to see? Or
I just think it'll be the iOS aspects of Lion. I think it's just going to make sort of day-to-day life a lot more simple. And I think that that's what Microsoft looked like they've glommed onto with the Windows 7 mobile aspect of Windows 8, is this idea that people just... I think people have got bored with the idea of these computers that they use day by day being computers. I think they really, you know, they want them to be just devices. And I think that Line and Windows are both heading down that route. I think Line will probably do it better because they've got a head start and they can leverage the iOS expertise and experience into the operating system. But I think, you know, with Line doing it and then Windows, you know, Microsoft popping up and saying, look, this is where we're going. I think that's how it's going to be. It's going to be a sort of a much more limited experience on the computer, mostly because that's what people want. They want a more limited experience that just works really quickly and really simply.
But I mean, is this a point? I mean, we're all Mac fanboys here in chat room. Here's a poll for you to come out with. Are we in danger of moving towards iOS when you've got the diehard Mac fans don't want that? They want the standard interface that they've always had. You know, one of the things that's always defined OS X is the fact that you've got, and the other OSs, is the fact you haven't got lots of icons cluttering your desktop. You've got the start across the bottom on the dock. You know, it's a clean and extravagant OS, elegant OS. But you start looking at iOS. iOS is cluttered. Folders is an absolute dog at times to try and find stuff because the mini icons are so bloody small within it. Trying to find App Store when it's blue because Safari looks blue and three other applications are also blue. Do we really want that on the desktop?
I personally don't. I personally am a bit, you know, we all need to move forward. I just wish there would be a better way of doing it. I mean, I like my iPhone looking like my iPhone. I like the iPad looking like my iPad, and I certainly like my Mac looking like a Mac. I like the different user experiences, and I come back from the long age of old Mac users that I like what I like. I don't know. It makes me sound like I'm getting old now, or I'm setting my ways, and by God, you ain't going to change me. But I like my Mac the way it is right now. I know we got to move forward, but I think we could do that from the back end. I think we could find a way to, possibly it's going to be with the iCloud, but with the redesigned interface, I'm not completely set on it yet. Though they will do a lot better than Windows will. That's for sure.
Or are we just go on, Ander?
Interestingly, I mean, one of the things that, I mean, we mentioned it last week and the week before when the virus thing is that, you know, when I'm sat out there in the stall and the general public are going past in their waves and pointing at the Macs and things, and one of the things that they always say is like, oh, that's an app, those are the Macs, and they say to me, they don't get viruses, do they? And we go down that route, which we've been down. The other thing, which the younger children do, and quite a lot of adults, particularly there'll be an iMac, or I've got a 20-inch iMac sat on the desk, and they'll just start bashing the screen, and the kids are like, why isn't this working? Why can't I swipe this? Which is weird, and I didn't expect that, and they've just got this thing, Mac Touch, that the interface works like that, and I was quite surprised that this, because all the kids have their iPod Touches and their mums and dads have got iPhones, and quite a lot of them aren't actual Mac users, they've got Windows, and I was really surprised. The power of the iOS is that so many people now just look at a Mac, and because the screen is all glossy and the icons are all 3D and it's lovely, they expect it to work like iOS.
Go ahead, Will.
I was going to say, what do you do to these little...
Smack them about the head.
I would.
I'd say yes.
An operating system is important, but at the end of the day, it's only the platform. And the most important thing, obviously, is in my opinion, is the applications that live upon it. So as far as an operating system is concerned, I just see really there's just a way of organizing your documents in folders and stuff and looking at them and maybe previewing them and working with them and finding and that sort of stuff. But really, it's pretty basic stuff and hasn't actually changed that much since the very first incarnation of OS X as far as its sort of primary function. So however they develop the operating system, I don't think will make that much difference. And I haven't seen that much difference in the last sort of 5 or 6 years. I suppose the biggest difference that you get is the way that you interact with the operating system. And as Andrew was saying, it's like the interaction is moving away from keyboard and mouse to touch screen. But as far as the actual core is concerned, the functionality of the OS hasn't changed, I wouldn't say, that much in, 15 years. And I don't think there's that much difference, other than the virus thing, between Windows, OS 10, or Linux.
Yeah, I think what Apple are doing, and they're being very clever about it, is that they've got this huge potential audience of Mac users that are currently using the iOS devices, as Kyle said. So I think what they're doing with Lion is to, you know, and they've said it, we're bringing stuff from iOS back to the Mac. So what they're going to do is to make the Lion operating system more user-friendly, more familiar to people who are currently using iOS devices, so that, you know, the transition from iOS to Mac is you know, pretty much seamless for them. Once they've used an iOS device, they'll be familiar with the Mac OS. It might well be, you know, the next generation, you know, 12 months, 2 years down, they might combine them and we'll have a unified OS for both tablets and for desktop. But definitely Lion and iOS 5, I think, will be sort of like a part merging of the way. And sort of to sort of take advantage of all this huge number of people who are sort of getting involved with iOS devices and bring them across to the Mac desktop platform. And then the iCloud bit, you know, to glue it all together, that, I think that's going to be huge. And it's certainly not just going to be a music service. I think there's much more to it than that. But again, we won't sort of see that until Monday to find out what they really are doing. It might be something like, you know, something that follows you around, you know, all your files follow you around from device to device, all based in the cloud. It could be, there's lots of things they could do. It depends how adventurous and you know, they've had the time to put the work in, so hopefully it's going to pay off.
One of the conversations I find really interesting, and I'm more than willing to accept that I'm at fault in this, is that, you know, because I want to hang on to my keyboard and my mouse, am I a dinosaur? Is touch the way forward? And I'm just being a bit reluctant to go with it because of the fact that, you know, I get 60 to 70 words a minute out of my keyboard. I can't really, really swiftly. All of my Photoshop stuff I do with a mouse. I keep going back to tablets and I never get on very well with them in terms of, you know, tablets and pens for Wacom, that kind of stuff. But, you know, am I a dinosaur because I want my mouse and keyboard? Is that, you know, am I fighting tooth and nail to keep something that is going to be obsolete in 5 years?
No. I think that it's horses for courses. I mean, a lot of the people that are banging the screen of the Mac and expecting the interface to be touch, it's down to what they're going to use the computer for when they've got it. And, you know, there's always going to be users that all they want out of their computer is iPlayer, internet, and email. And that's basically it. And a touch interface will handle that perfectly well, and there's not too much. But if you're working on your computer day to day, you can't be touching the screen and moving stuff around. You know, whatever the word is for when you sit and things, can't remember.
Ergonomics.
Science of
ergonomics.
Getting a backache.
Ergonomics.
Ergonomics. Not going to work for people working in an office. It's not going to work. But it's going to, I mean, an OS that can straddle both of those things is an OS that's going to win. And I think that's where Lion and, you know, the next one are going. It's going to be, is a touch interface all you need? Yep, we can do that. Do you need to sit down and do serious work at your computer? Yep, we can do that.
So you don't need a 24-inch iMac for that. You can do it with an iPad.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's quite nice to see that, like, when you rent a movie from iTunes, it's nice to see it on the telly because it's a big screen. I wouldn't enjoy the movie as much on my iPad. It's nice to have a big, you know, a 27-inch iMac to watch your movie on with a gorgeous screen, but you don't need the whole Mac OS interface to do that if that's all you're ever going to do.
Interesting question here in the chat room from MattBit saying, what about Apple's liaison with Nuance? Because one of the Nuance, they're the people that do the voice stuff, Dragon Naturally Speaking and that kind of thing. Now, one thing that I said, you know, I was working with voice recognition 15 years ago on stuff that was running on DOS 4, and it worked reasonably well once you'd trained it. But we're not actually, I don't think we're a huge amount better now. Don, I know, I'm going to stand corrected here gladly, because I know you've been using a bit of voice software just recently.
Yeah, I've been using the Dragon Dictate stuff, and it's really clever. It works very, very well. In fact, it's funny you should mention that. This week's show that I've just put out, literally like an hour ago, is a follow-on to the Dragon Dictate show that I did, which is using Bluetooth headsets with your Mac, and also with your iPad and your iPhone as well, because there's a little application called Dictate. No, Dictation it's called, by the Nuance people, that you can use a Bluetooth headset with your iPad or your iPhone, and you can dictate to it. It only captures like a minute's worth of speech. What it does, it doesn't process it on the device itself. It actually sends it off to the Nuance data centers. They do the speech recognition and send it back to you.
So you've got a little Indian somewhere.
Like that. You know, it's really, really clever. But I mean, Apple actually bought the Siri stuff as well, didn't they? There was an application that we didn't get in the UK, but there was an application in the US called Siri, which is like voice recognition and artificial intelligence as well. And they bought them about 18 months ago, and we've been waiting to see what the outcome of that. So this Nuance thing, this huge data center they've got, this iCloud, this Siri, you know, it's... Yeah, I think voice recognition is probably a way that they're going to go with it. And they're never going to replace the keyboard, at least not in the next, 10 years or so.
Now, I haven't used speech recognition for a lot of years, I have to say. But in what you've just said and the way you've just said it, Don, how much would speech recognition have kept up with you? You know, if
you'd be surprised. You can actually speak very quickly, and accuracy is very, very, very good. Very good. You don't have to, and the training as well, it takes about 10 minutes to train, but you speak at a normal, just speak at a normal pace. You don't have to slow down. You need to enunciate a little bit more than you would perhaps normally, but it's extremely accurate and very quick.
So you don't get into the situation with the Mac where you open the Mac up at home and you go, open Excel, and the computer goes, you have opened YouPorn.
You can. I mean, there's two elements to it. One is the dictation, whereby you just speak to it and it will actually dictate and write down the text. But you can control the computer as well, and there's all sorts of command you can give to it. I mean, to be honest, I don't use that very much. I tend to just use a Wacom. I've got a Wacom pen tablet, which I use as a mouse instead of a mouse. So I only really use the dictation side of it. But those features are built in. You can actually use them if you really want to.
How come, right, Andrew? This show only ever turns to porn when you're on it and when you start the topic.
I have a reputation to downgrade.
You are Dr. Happy Porn. There is no going away. Forget Dr. Happy Slapper and all the other names that have come out in the chat room. You are Dr. Happy Porn, and no taking away from it.
I was just making a point. I was illustrating a potential pitfall with a technology.
Yeah, because Excel and YouPorn sound exactly the same. Yeah, I could see.
Yeah. That was the point.
What about iCloud? Come on, you've got two musos in the room, most definitely.
I've
Will
got
Green
some predictions. I wrote them down. Some predictions for the Apple iCloud.
I've got predictions just in case I forget. I mean, you either see the future or you don't, dude.
I've done some research.
Oi, go ahead, mate.
Right. One, it's going to be more expensive than you hope. Two, it's going to offer slightly less storage than you really need. It will be hyped like the end of the world. It'll all fall over 2 days after the launch. It will never really work quite as well as you wanted it to. It'll slide into a development limbo, and it'll look absolutely fantastic.
Oh, God. Anyone going to pick fault with that?
Yeah. He got everyone wrong except the last one.
It's going to be a bag of hurt. Come on.
Come on. No way is it going to not work. After all the Mobile Me debacle.
Right. Okay. I'll bet you that it launches, and I reckon there's a tragedy. I reckon 2 days after they launch it, that the internet is afire with how it's not working.
Talking about the Mobile Me debacle, I had an email from them again this week after my fun with them last week, and they asked me for the last four digits of my credit card, my date of birth, and my mother's maiden name in open emails. So I told them to get stuffed. So email. And Mobile Me is at don't part with 60 quid, because I parted with 60 quid to get my emails back, and I still haven't got my emails back. There we go. Will, what's your take on, because you're a big music man, aren't you? So, what's the thought on the iCloud thing?
The iCloud thing, well, I'm a member of the Cloud Appreciation Society. I can tell you that much.
There's people that appreciate clouds.
In fact, I've got my, can you see that?
Go on, I'll do it close to the camera. The Cloud Collector's Handbook. Collectible clouds, dude, come on.
Yeah, no, well, aside from the Cloud Collector's Handbook and membership of the Cloud Collector thing, I don't know, it's all a bit of a waste of time, isn't it, really? I'm very sceptical about the whole thing. I think it's just catch up with what Amazon and people are doing. I think the cloud will work to a certain extent, but I wouldn't bet our future on it, would you? I mean, it's okay, right, I'm with Sky. Come to about 5 o'clock and my broadband just dies pretty much. It's not even broadband to a certain extent. Right. So I use that as an example that you're very much in the hands of your service provider. And I still want to keep my stuff local. And I can't ever imagine a position that I'll be, oh, I really need to listen to this album. It's not my iPhone, it's not my iPod or whatever it is. So I'm very skeptical. I do wonder what's going to happen to Mobile Me, whether they're going to kill it and sort of combine the two, or what they're going
to
do.
It doesn't want to be killed. It needs to be tortured first.
You really don't like it, do you?
No, I think it's a big pile of sugar. Kyle, you're obviously more positive than everyone else about this. So
I am.
Explain yourself, boy.
Well, first off, as far as the price will be, I think it's going to be free for a while. They're going to want to get people to get onto this thing.
Do we need to disclose that you've got some insider information here?
No, I'm not going to disclose anything. Little birdie, and that'll be it. I think it'll be free for a while. I think they're going to charge after that, though. We'll get to that point. Everybody's worried about that. They're worried about, oh, I can't get to my stuff that's on the cloud. Well, it's going to be a dual operation. It's going to be a thing where you bought a song in iTunes. It's there. It's on the cloud, too. I think Apple's going to have everybody covered in so many ways that it's going to be a why not kind of thing. Why shouldn't I do this kind of thing? And it will spread on every single device that we have, hence the integration. We've got the App Store on online now. Everything's going to be there, and it's nice little cloudy world. And I think there'll be some bumps, of course. I mean, it's cloud service. I mean, of course there is. I think a lot of it depends on your ISP provider, and God knows I'm scared to death here in the Philippines. But I honestly think the reason why Apple's taken so long with this is because they knew everybody else was going to, just like they did the tablets, and look who still came out on top. And I look for it to be a rather good hit, particularly in the music and video department.
Now, someone sent me a tweet this morning, and I can't find anything on this, so I'm just going to float it out there. As you were saying about ISPs there, they were talking about an airport or an Airport Extreme upgrade, but I can't find any stories that reflect that.
No, there's rumours that the current Airport Extremes have been not withdrawn, but they're in short supply. And there's now a rumour saying that it's possible that there might be a new, connected with the cloud service, there might be a new Airport Extreme device that will do such things as know what devices are connected to it, and then automatically in the background download any updates. So they've become like a network server. So that if you are looking towards moving away from having to always tie up your iPad or your iPhone with a local Mac, you might be able to do it wirelessly to a new Airport Extreme. So you know, you can get your updates across the wire from your local Airport Extreme.
That sounds good. You know, that's got my credit card sharpened. Go ahead, Carl.
Speaking of airport, I think the iCloud is going to be exactly that. I think it's going to be AirPlay on steroids. It's actually going to work this time.
Well, one of the points that's just come out from Drummer in the chat room, and this is where the tweet came from this guy this morning. He said, with the Airport Extreme upgrade, would there be a move from Apple to go towards being an ISP?
No, I can't see how they would do that, though, because it's all based on infrastructure, isn't it, really? Yeah.
They're starting from, well, you say that, but I mean, Google's decided to pop into that market, haven't they? So, you know, would you see a US only perhaps, but Apple going towards being, you know, 1 gig provision from Apple? They've got the funds for it. They'd get, even if they didn't want to use their own money, if they put in 20%, 40%, they'd purloin enough venture capital surely to see that through.
We'll get a television first.
Yeah, okay. TV
before
first.
Before an ISP.
I just thought it was an interesting one. Just a really interesting concept to this idea of pushing the iCloud to that nth degree.
Bless it you. Is, but doesn't you think you can get to it's like over commercialization? I mean, Apple is becoming such a dominant thing right now that even us big fanboys are sometimes a bit like, oh, what are you doing now? You know, we're trying to make the Mac look more like the iPad. Well, I don't really want that. You know, I think they also, Don has kind of said it before, they need to be a little bit careful about how they're going about how they're marketing things and in a way that they're doing it. Apple could get to a point where they could oversaturate themselves, and then we might have a bit of a problem in the Apple department, like we experienced in the first time that Jobs was, shall we say, out on the street when they kicked him out the door. Thank God he came back. But I don't know. I think they could get to a point where it may not be as good for Apple if they keep the certain things that they're doing right now in that direction.
Don?
Yeah, but I don't know. I still think they've got huge growth potential, even though, you know, they're doing so well in so many areas. I think they, you know, the sky's the limit for them, really. The thing that puzzles me about Monday is we know about Lion. You know, there's been a developer preview of Lineup for the last 6 months or so, and you know, it's looking nice. It's not a dramatic difference from OS 10, but you know, it's got some of the features of iOS, and it's, you know, it's settling down. But iOS 5, we've heard nothing. Absolutely nothing about iOS 5. There's not even any rumors about what it's going to do, other than people keep banging on about they want a better notification service. So we don't know about that. We don't know anything about iCloud other than the music side. So those areas, I think there's so many things, so many directions they could go with both those services that at this point, really, it's a bit pointless to speculate because we'll know so quickly. But you know, so many things they could actually do with just those two services, and then tying everything together. Mm-hmm. You know, but there might be sort of blowing smoke here, but you know, it could be, you know, the start of the. Don't forget Apple TV. You know, they still haven't opened up Apple TV yet. That's a whole new area where they need to get into. We've currently got a very, although it's a great device, it's very crippled at the moment because it's, you know, the platform isn't open for people. People can't develop apps for it. Content can't be delivered other than the existing apps that are in there. That's another huge area, which I don't know if it will figure in their plans on Monday, but, you know, that's another area that they can go into. You know, there's just so much stuff they can get involved in at this time, and it just seems so wide and open at this point. I just hope they either, one, don't screw it up, or two, don't deliver on a big picture on Monday.
I think the only thing that bothers me about Monday, and it echoes some of the comments that Andy made in his list there, there's a thought process in my mind that if you look at what's coming, there's an awful lot of front end, there's an awful lot of gloss that seems to be promised within the UI, but deep under the hood, you know, we've not heard anything about any rumors about functionality changes or power changes for the UI. And you look at some of the peripheral applications, and I keep coming back to this, and I'm awfully sorry, guys, but address book, iCal, mail, they're all screaming for better than just a different UI. And all we're seeing so far is new UI. We're not seeing any cross functionality that's any better, or, you know, there doesn't seem to be anything that's user functionality based other than switching the UI. And I just wonder if I'm going to feel a little bit empty at the end of Monday or not.
Well, I'm just wondering, is iCloud the glue then? Is iCloud the back end that, you know, all these different services have been crying out for?
I think that is the glue that will hold everything together. I think Don exactly right on that. Is I think that's, we've been waiting so long for this. We've heard iCloud rumors for well over a year now, and I think Apple's worked on it at least enough where I think we're going to be highly impressed come Monday, or at least come this week. I'm hopeful for it, because to be honest with you, right now, as far as who's getting my music business, it's Amazon right now, because they're just blowing Apple out of the water. And I think, you know, obviously Apple's going to do something with that, but I think Apple's going to go in a direction we're not really seeing right now. I still feel like there's a part of me that wants them to take on the Google approach somewhat with this, you know, with Chrome and all that. I don't know. There's just something that's eating at me that says that I could see Apple doing something like that.
So here we go, Kyle. What have Apple got to do on Monday to pull you away from Amazon?
Well, they've got to be more competitively priced. I mean, that's just a given. The cloud service, you got to give me unlimited storage, and you got to make it cheap.
So what about bitrate of tracks and so on? Because they're still different, aren't they? They're still hitting 192 on Amazon and 160 on...
That's actually another thing I wanted to touch on, you. And I think we're at the point, I think Apple is going to start offering probably like Apple lossless files. I think that's the next realm we're getting into, is that we're getting into a place now where people have enough broadband now where if you want audio file quality, I think Apple's going to be the one to give it to us in a lossless format. And that would definitely, without a doubt, pull me away from Amazon.
Do you think the company that bought you the Apple Hi-Fi, which I love, and then marketed it as the end of pro-grade hi-fis because it was as good as anything you could buy, this is the company that's going to bring lossless audio to the cloud?
Matt Bitt's in the chat room saying he wants 256 AAC in the cloud, and then he's all...
I think that it's, whatever it is, whatever comes, is not going to be cheap. It's certainly not going to be cheaper than Amazon, because Apple don't do anything with the word cheap in it, just, you know, because they don't have to. They will... they will hang their hat on integration and seamless working and delivering stuff to you when you want it and why you, you know, and how you want it on whatever device you want it. And they will make you pay for that.
And their customers,
that's their USP. They will not compete with Amazon on price. They don't compete with anyone on price ever. They will charge a lot of money for it. And people will say, you can get this here, you can get this bit here. Like they do with MobileMe now, you can get every bit of MobileMe for free somewhere. And yet Apple still charge a ridiculous sum of money for it. They're going to charge a ridiculous sum of money for whatever comes out on Monday, and they'll hang it on the way that it works together.
And all the sheep will follow.
But it's an interesting, I was just thinking as earlier as we were going about it, how much of the material they've got to work with in the cloud environment, with Address Book, Apple Mail, iCal, how much of the core systems that they've got is at best only competent and at worst massively outdated.
That's a fair criticism.
At the top end of it, you've got Apple Mail, which is a competent mail client, and at the bottom end you've got the Address Book, which is pretty functionally is identical to the one that came out in OS 10.0, and then in the middle you've got iCal, which never really achieves as much as you wanted it to. And you know, it's all crying out to be rolled together, but it's not actually a particularly high bar for Apple to jump over.
The only thing that always strikes me about iCal Address Book and mail integration is Mulberry have had a go at doing it, but no one else has really had a go and got it right on the Mac platform. Even Outlook, the current new Outlook, is not good enough it's nowhere good as the Windows experience for Outlook is.
iTunes itself is only competent.
Yeah. Go ahead, Will.
Great experience.
I was going to say, this isn't an advert, but we're on the subject anyway. I don't know if you've tried a little application called Fantastical. And if you're finding iCal a bit crap, which it is a bit crap, this is a good little application that allows you to... So it's in your menu bar, and it allows you to say, meeting my mate on Thursday, enter. And it does it. It just, you know... He goes to Thursday, puts the time in. Watson! That was Watson. He likes it too. And it works really well. So it's like a natural...
Hey, you know, amen, brother. Keep on preaching.
Crap as well. There we go.
Puppies barks are horrible, aren't they? They really go through you.
Yeah. The tone in the chat room saying, is there not a Mac version of Thunderbird? Yes, there is, mate, but the integration of that is really, really kludgy. It doesn't run, I don't think, as well. And what you're saying, Will, about Fantastical, you still have to have iCal open, though, while it's running.
No, you don't. No, it just does it anyway, I think. Mm. If I say, okay,
the review, in your face. I haven't used it, but the review I read said the downside is you've still got to have iCal open to use it.
Like, if you want to edit any of the existing events or things in there, you have to do it through iCal. But you can actually run it without iCal being open, and it will add them to iCal. But
as a viewer?
It's a viewer, basically. So yeah. If you want to do any editing, it opens iCal in the background.
Because one of the things I've had with iCal is that for some reason, it just doesn't seem to want to link to Google Mail calendars anymore. Mm. It comes and goes wildly. It's awful. Very bad.
Have we got any other stories? To the music, if I might.
Go on, sure.
Go on. What I'd like them to do is basically just replicate what Spotify are doing. And I know Spotify gets a bad press, but I think it's a fantastic service. So I don't really want to buy music anymore. And I know that might be an issue because Steve has always said that, you know, he thinks that people do want to buy music. But I'd be more than happy, because I'm going to be paying for MobileMe or iCloud or whatever for the other features anyway. If they can roll in, you know, a music subscription service into there, that'd be fine by me. Just replicate what Spotify are doing, and I'd be a happy bunny.
Have they got? Do you think they've got the backing for that?
They've been talking to the labels for the last 2 weeks, and as far as I know, everybody's on board. So I don't see any reason why that probably couldn't be possible.
Well, okay, interesting, good stuff. Have we got any other news that we want to talk about? Any other pressing things that have come along this week?
Well, there was the new versions of iWork apps for the iPhone. That came out this week.
Yes, I work for iPhone. That was Wednesday morning, Tuesday afternoon. Have we all downloaded and played?
Yeah, all $30 worth.
I was going to, well, isn't it free for now? I thought it was. If you'd already bought it for an iPad, you got it free.
Yeah.
But is it really worth $10?
No.
Oh, go away.
No. I still like working on documents on my Mac.
See, I'm as bad as everyone else. I went and bought iWork for iPad and I've never used it.
Yeah.
I just can't be bothered. I'd rather pull my laptop out and do it and get significantly more functionality, which is one of my reasons for hating the idea of iOS 5 being coming to the desktop platform. I really don't want it, you know?
I got stopped at the checkout and I went, oh, I gotta have it. And then like 2 hours later, it's like, why the hell did I buy this?
There are some nice new features in there, though, which they didn't have before. Again, strange timing that they brought it out now, because I might have thought that they might have announced a new iWork on Monday at the keynote, with if it's all cloud-based, etc. So we'll have to see what happens. But there's some nice new features in there to do with document management, which makes it a bit easier. Instead of having that stupid single pane of scrolling documents that you flick through, you can actually arrange, and I know you don't like folders on iOS, Ewan, but you can actually arrange your documents into folders now, which I thought was quite nice. So you can actually manage your documents a bit more easier. But yeah, it's still a bit of a pain, I have to say.
Will's coming back pretty dishevelled. Looks like he's had gone three rounds with Watson.
I've got him now. I've got him. He needs a damn good thrashing.
Oh, don't we all, mate? But it costs too much money these days.
He's really smelly as well, you know.
We should bath him.
But he stinks. He absolutely stinks.
Well, that's what he's been carrying crap around in his mouth since the day he was born.
Oh, he's horrible. Absolutely horrible. He actually loves it. Every walk now, we'll go and find something. Very, very happy with it. I suppose he's sort of performing a public service to some extent.
What, bringing crap back to your house?
No, he just eats it.
Oh, moving on.
No wonder why he stinks.
I've just downloaded Fantastical.
And? Which,
cheers, Will. And just...
Fantastical?
Wow. I clicked the launch, the install button, and it did something I thought was really brilliant. Obviously, it ran the installer, and then it got to the bit where it says which calendar application you're using, and you click iCal, and then it comes up with a window, and the OS thing has popped up a window that says an application is asking to use your keychain, and then there's always allow, cancel, and allow, and the allow button is flashing, because it wants you to allow that one time, but really you need to allow it all the time, otherwise you'll be doing it forever. And the Fantastical app install has popped up a window behind that saying you will need to authorize your account, you'll want to press this button, and a little flashing animated arrow pointing to the button you do want to be pressing. And I saw that and I thought, what a fantastic installer.
Good.
It's a great, honestly, it's only a small thing, but I've always hated iCal and always used my Scion. And when I came across this, I thought, right, I'll buy this. It's only cheap. And give it a go. And I use it now because I don't want to click plus and then select a calendar date and then select a finish date and a time or wherever it is. I just want to type, I meet my mate on Thursday for a beer at the Maltose or something like that. And it does it all. You type that and it sort of automates the whole process, and it's very accurate. It seems 99% of the time it gets it right, and it's a bit sort of Star Trek-y, really. But, you know, like it's how I want my computer to work, and iCal is just a database, really, with a flash interface like any other calendaring or contact type things, and these sort of... These enhanced interfaces make the difference, and I think it's a really good one.
And Andy, you do realise you've just paid £12 for an iCal viewer.
It's not an iCal viewer. It's more
and it looks, the interface is very iOS-like.
But you've paid £12 for something to looking at another application which still has to be open to use it.
Listen, no, you can
add things to it.
As far as I was concerned, when the installer ran and it did the thing with the you need to click this button, not the other one, it paid for itself at that point.
That's four pints of beer, man.
Yeah, everything else after that installer was just gravy.
That's two main courses at an expensive Chinese restaurant.
I like it. La la la, yeah. La la la. Can't hear you.
what have they done to you? Somebody at Fantastical's insulted you or something, you haven't they?
I've got no money. I've just spent £1,300 on a new lens. That's why.
Oh, is that what it is?
And I haven't told the wife.
Oh, dear.
One pint in London, says Tone. Have we got any cool thingies done?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to repeat one that I've repeated on another podcast, but I'm sure you don't mind me doing that because it's a really good application. It's a thing called Hype. And what Hype does is it generates HTML5 code. So basically, you know, all these Flash animations that you see that you normally need Adobe Flash or you need Dreamweaver or something to create. We can now create them in this little application. You can animate things. So you can drag images in, drag videos in, create text, and then animate them using keyframes. And then once you've animated your sort of piece of web content, you press a button and it will generate all the HTML5 code and any CSS and any JavaScript it needs. And then what you can do is embed it within your own web pages, or if you want to, you can just publish it straight to Dropbox.
Wow.
And it's fantastic. Really, really good. It's about, I think it's $29, but it's a crazy application. So it works really, really well.
It does sound brilliant.
You can also create, it's based on scenes. So sort of like a presentation, and when you have multiple slides, you create these multiple scenes, and then you can create navigation buttons and links between the pages. And then when you publish it, it's all hyperlinked and you can move. And there's things like, you know, swapping animations or transitions to go from scene to scene. Really very, very well done. And with it being HTML5, it'll work on, you know, most of the modern browsers. It's really nice as well because some of the transitions won't work on things like Firefox or Opera. But before you publish it, before you generate the code, it will come up with warning to say, look, this will work fine in Safari and mobile Safari, not Opera. So you can actually go back and take that out if you want it to work within Opera, or just leave it as it is. But very well done. It's two ex-Apple employees.
Very good.
Developed it. And it came out about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Instant recommendation from the chat room. Drummer has jumped in straight and would say it was your pick on MacBreak. He downloaded it immediately, and he thinks it's a great one.
Excellent. Good.
Excellent. Kyle, your cool thing.
Ah, my cool thingy. Well, it's something I've been discovering this week, and I really like it. Actually, it's kind of a dual thing. It's a service, but it also has an iPhone app. It's called Dropbox that Don just mentioned. And I really, really like the service. Now, that when iCloud comes along, you know, might have to think otherwise, but right now I really like it. It has an application for the Mac as well, and it's great on the iPhone. You can just upload your pictures and everything. It syncs everything really, really good. I don't know why I've been a hermit and haven't found this a long time ago, but I really like it, and I really like the iPhone app. It's actually is very, very easy to use, very cleverly done, and they have a basic service. It's like two gigs. But I wasn't cheap this week. I actually did pay the $9.99 a month and got 50 gigabytes of storage. And I really do like it. It's a good service. It's a great app. And until we find out about iCloud, I like this.
And when you check the bit where it says, tell your friends about Dropbox, you check no, and you don't give them their email address, because I've been plagued by frigging emails from them. And I've already got a Dropbox account.
Have you really?
Yeah. Just never use it. Andrew, have you got anything for us?
Yes, I have. It is a podcast, because podcasts, as we all know, are good. But it's not a Mac podcast. It's a podcast I've been listening to, as I've been going to and from this place, which is a way down the road, and I've been sort of humming to myself during the week, doing this cabling and things like that. I've been listening to a podcast called Little Atoms.
Oh, and?
It's fantastic. I mean, there's a whole backload. They've been going for a couple of years now, so there's loads and loads. It's kind of filed under social sciences in iTunes, which is really weird because it's not social science, but it's basically every week they have a very interesting and stimulating and thoughtful person from the fields of science, journalism, politics, religion, academia, human rights, or the arts, or indeed anywhere. And it's really nice because it's a good sort of in-depth thing, and everyone they have on has got something worth listening to, and every podcast is completely different, and you can learn. I've learned an awful lot in a week. It's been brilliant.
Excellent.
Little Atoms, and you can go to them at www.littleatoms.com, or you can just stuff Little Atoms into iTunes and it will find it for you. Brilliant.
Excellent. Will, have you got anything for us?
Was that a yawn then?
It was a yawn, sorry. I just, it's stuffy in here.
Oh, lovely, educational. Well done, Andrew.
No, it's nothing to do with your pick at all, Andrew, there.
Yawn.
I am sat in a hot studio under lights, and it's I've got the long blinks on, I have to admit.
Me looking good.
I'm not going to swear because it's only going to make editing for me, no one else.
Are you going to finish mine with, yeah, whatever?
I did. Bugger off.
My pick is Windows 8.
What are you picking, sick boy?
I'm all right. What am I picking? I am picking, and I feel guilty, you know, because that thing I mentioned earlier, the fantastical, and what I'm going to mention now, I've got no sponsorship or no monetary interest at all with them. It's just I think they're really, really good applications. And this one is called iStudio Publisher.
Right.
And I've been sort of, Pages, that's the chap, Pages, which is sort of the in the layout mode, it's a really good and simple DCP package. And then you go up to the other end, which is like Quark and Design and all that governs, which I've been sort of messing with for years and never really got very far with. And this iStudio Publisher is bang in the middle. It's, you can create some pretty amazing looking pages with it, you know, like wrapping text around and getting text to go on a curve. But it's so simple. It really is one of the best applications as far as DTP, or probably the best application as far as DTP is concerned on the Mac I've ever used. And if you go to the the App Store, they're doing a sale on it. It's about 10 quid or maybe 11 quid, and it's worth every single penny if you're interested in that sort of stuff. They push it and say, you know, if you're going to do a business card, are you going to do this, that, and the other? Which I probably would say no. Stick, if you're going to do a business card or a letterhead or something like that, I would stick with Pages if you've got it. But if you want to do something more involved, like a parish magazine or, you know, any sort of magazine, fan magazine, or even a professional publication, this little beauty can do it. So iStudio Publisher, and they're British as well.
Oh, good man.
British company.
We like British. Good pick. My pick is, I'm into me little shooter games periodically. I don't play a lot of video games, but I like things like Call of Duty on the Mac, where you can use a mouse and a keyboard. And one thing I got for the iPhone, I loved Rainbow Six when it was out years ago. And I've got Rainbow Six here for iOS for my iPhone. And you can see there just how smooth it is. It is absolutely effortless to play. It runs like an absolute dream on the iPhone 4. And it's all kind of augmented reality, so you move around and shoot stuff using the motion of the iPhone. And like I say, periodically, I like a little shoot 'em up or a sniper game or something. And this one's absolutely stunning. Give it a go. I think it was about $4.99, so not exactly expensive. Rainbow Six. Right, now, before we do the last bit of where can we get a hold of you, we've got a few things to mention. We've got some fantastic sponsors in the form of UK2. We'll talk about them in a minute, and they've got a fantastic deal for you as well. But the London Mac User Group is streaming the live keynote from San Francisco on Monday. So if you go down to the Wood Marylebone pub, which is just off Baker Street in the middle of London, go downstairs and introduce yourself to Steve Naylor, who's in charge of the London Mac Group. He will set you up near the bar, and you can sit and watch the whole thing as it comes through down the pipe, providing Apple don't pull the plug on it and his bandwidth holds up on his router. But if you don't, then there's plenty of beer, so don't worry about it. So go and see them. It's the Wood Marylebone pub just off Baker Street in the middle of London. Give it a try. The other thing that we've got is through June, July, August and September, we've got a sponsor for a competition, and it's Wirecast. Telestream, the people that make Wirecast, have given us 4 copies to give away, 1 a month. And if you'd like a copy of Wirecast, it's a $500 piece of software. It's absolutely stunning. It's what we do the video on here. And it's yours. All you've got to do is send us an email. And this month, the question is, I deserve a copy of Wirecast. because, and all you've got to do is complete that sentence in a funny way or a serious way or a marketing way, in any way that you choose, and me and Wirecast will decide, Janet over at Wirecast will decide who the winner is, and you'll get a copy of it free of charge. The good thing as well is, doesn't matter if you're running Windows or Mac, you can still get a copy of it because it does both. So there you go. Wirecast, thanks ever so much to them for the sponsorship of the video wall, and we're really grateful for them giving this to give us away. The last one that we've got, of course, is UK2. UK2.net, our main sponsors. They're the people that keep us afloat, give us our bandwidth, and look after us every month. They come up with a fantastic new deal. If you go to UK2.net, use the click-through on our webpage, bageltechnews.com, then click through on it. When you get there, anything that you buy, if you put in the offer code now, instead of getting your month free and all that kind of stuff, everything, every single service they do, you will get 15% off what they provide. So anything you buy at all, if you spend a grant with them, you've got 150 quid back in your pocket. 15% off everything. Use the offer code BagelTech and you're absolutely laughing. And the same offer code works for Screencasts Online there with Don, and you'll get 50% off your first 3 months with him. So very much worthwhile. And we don't get paid anything by Sophos, but if you want the antivirus stuff from them, then just click on the logo next to that and it'll take you to the downloads page. Thank you ever so much to UK2 for the sponsorship. Whatever you do, please click the link, because that's what keeps us afloat and keeps us alive. Let them know that you're affiliated to us and them. Last thing I want to put an appeal out for is some reviews. All the podcasts need reviews. Will and I were talking last week about why the Mac podcast seems to yo-yo straight into the charts quite high up and then disappears again within a short space of time. We get an awful lot of downloads each week from what the servers are telling us, and we're using an awful lot of data. We piled on nearly 4 terabytes of data last month. Reviews is the only thing that the pair of us have come up with. You know, Will's got 262 reviews. We've got about 12, I think. So please, if you're listening to the podcast and you've got an iTunes account, take yourself down to iTunes, please leave us a review. We're not telling you to leave a good one, leave whatever you want to leave and be constructive as you possibly can, but please leave a review. It makes a big difference, I think, in the rankings. And Will, you're doing rather well at the moment, aren't you?
I seem to be.
You haven't been out the good. Top 5
I just
in weeks.
Laughing at the review thing, leave a good one or a bad one, and I try and kid myself that the bad ones I laugh them off, but they break your heart, don't they? Oh my God, you know what?
Well, I don't mind. See, this is what we were saying at the start, and this is where the definition of blowing smoke up your ass, we found out what it was. But, you know, I don't, a good review that just says, oh, you're fantastic, doesn't tell me any more than a bad review that says you're an utter bastard. So, you know, if you want to say that it's good, say why it's good. And if you want to say why it's bad, say why it's bad.
You haven't done the definition of... Go on, let's... You
definition of blowing smoke up your ass. Will asked earlier on, and we Googled it, and Google predicted the answer as well, actually, which was quite good. And it goes back to snake oil salesmen who apparently had a special device which was inserted into your rectum, and then they would actually blow tobacco smoke up your backside to ease constipation. And when everyone found out it was a complete pile of crap, they all said, right, so you're blowing smoke up my ass.
But how did they know? It might work. It could be a herbal remedy.
Well, I guess they were still constipated afterwards.
Like maybe that's, I don't know. But I mean, there's so many different sort of remedies at that time. What did they pick on that one? It needs scientific investigation.
You've got to admit, I mean, then, you know, why? How would you think of that?
Sounds fun, though. I mean, you...
I know, let's blow smoke up someone's ass. No, let's not. Where can we get a hold of you? Don McAllister.
You can get me over at screencastonline.com. I've got a nice posh new webpage over there now as well, so go ahead and check that out. You can also find me on Twitter as Don McAllister, and the blog, themacscreencastguy.com.
And as of Monday...
Do you think they can play smoke rings?
If you fart, yeah. And as of Monday morning, you'll be wandering around bleary-eyed in San Francisco.
Yes, I'll be there for the week. I'm not sure if I'll make next week's show. I might try if the jet lag hasn't sort of worn away by Friday, but it's going to be like 5 o'clock in the morning when the show's on in San Francisco on Friday. So you never know. I might pop up or not.
We'll ask Eric Lanigan to come on in your place, and he'll have to get up at 5 then instead. Carl, where can we get you?
Twitter is the simplest place. Twitter.com/KyleSwagger.
Jolly good. Andrew, Dr. Happy Mac.
Yep, that's at Dr. Happy Mac, at Dr. Dr. Happy Mac on the Twitters. That's me.
Jolly good. And last but by no means least, Will Green. the current star of iTunes.
I meant to say earlier about there was one rumor that we missed out on that the MacBook Air is in very short supply.
That doesn't seem so good, does it? I mean, you can't be due an upgrade right now.
Well, you can do because it's missing thingy, isn't it? It's missing port thing. What's it called?
Oh, Thunderbolt. Okay.
So it's the MacBook, and they're not in short supply.
Yeah, but they're MacBooks.
I couldn't believe it. How many years in computer years? 370 days since the MacBook was updated last.
It's gone to unibody construction, though, hasn't it? It's unibody plastic, admittedly, but...
Well, that was the last update. That was it, you know, over a year ago.
I think I like them. I like those MacBooks with a big sort of rubber bottom.
Yeah, no, they're good. I like them too. They...
Big bottom Macs make the world. There we go. We'll be back again next week, as normal, with the Mac Show, with a pile of guests, and we'll discuss what actually happened at WDC. Have a good weekend, enjoy the sunshine, drink lots of beer, and I'm going off to take pictures with a big long lens that I bought. Let's see, does Google know? Oh, does it on the predictive? When you start blowing smoke, it comes up with up your ass. That's impressive.